For my reading this morning, I'm going to take this from an article by Ezra Bidal on the meaning of awareness. He speaks about mindfulness, and he says about mindfulness, "Here we begin to pay more precise attention to our thoughts, our emotions, our activities, our strategies of behavior. We begin to see the beliefs that run our lives. We see the repeating patterns that keep us stuck in our own modes of particular suffering. We see basic fears out of which our beliefs and behaviors arise. And we learn what it means to observe and fully feel these fears without getting consumed by them. If we persevere in the aspect of the awareness continuum, our solid patterns gradually become more and more porous, and our emotional reactions no longer dictate how we live. In this sense, we are living more fully awake." Before I came here this morning, there were a lot of things I read about mindfulness, but that is perhaps the most concise. One morning, about 2 months ago, I found myself with a curling iron in one hand, writing a note with my husband to my husband with the other, and listening to the morning weather. My morning continued like that because I was running late, so I stopped through the drive-in to pick up breakfast, and while I'm driving, I'm listening to a CD and at the same time taking the breakfast apart and putting the bread aside so I could get at what I really wanted to eat. And then once I got to work, I immediately sat down at my computer and started entering behavioral data when my phone rang. So I picked up my phone, kept it like between my cheek and my shoulder, and I'm typing while I'm carrying on a conversation when somebody knocked at my door and told me that they had to talk to me immediately. So I began typing with one hand, put my hand over the receiver, and was listening to one person while the other person was talking, and periodically I would go between the two conversations by putting my hand over the receiver. Now, I don't know how many of you, but I do suspect all of you, have had days like that. Days when maybe you were cooking, on the phone, and trying to guide your kids through homework. We all have them. We all live with this great invention of the Western world called multitasking. But what I would like to do is contrast our lives with a story about a Tibetan monk. Tibetan monks, most of them are very learned. They go through long years of schooling. They study the various philosophies, the schools of Buddhism. Each school has numerous practices that are involved with that particular school. And they learned them all. And one of the monks had studied for 12 years, and after his very long course of study, and by the way, that 12 years is not uncommon, after his very long course of study, he had to face an exam. And it's much like an oral exam for a doctorate. You stand before the teachers, and they ask you whatever questions they have prepared or whatever comes into their head, and you have to answer. And this monk performed brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly. No matter what school they asked him about, he knew the answer. No matter what practice they asked him about, he knew the answer. He knew the whys, the wherefores, he could compare, he could contrast, he could do whatever the teachers asked him about. When they ran out of questions, they turned to his main teacher, the teacher who guided him through his 12 years, and they said to him, "Do you have any questions? You haven't asked anything." And the teacher said, "Well, you've all done very well in asking the questions, and it's obvious that my pupil has done extraordinarily well. But I do have one question. And he turned to the young monk and he said, given everything you said here about theory and about practice, what should you be thinking about and what should you be doing when you're brushing your teeth? And the monk looked at him and he said, brushing my teeth. The teacher then not only declared that he had passed his examination, but that in fact he was enlightened. And in Buddhism, being enlightened is like saying, you're at the top. Okay. So the young monk's simple answer is very different than what we do in the Western world. Lately, however, psychology, and I'm in the profession of psychology, has caught up with Buddhism. They have discovered that there are many, many benefits to this focused paying attention, to this mindfulness. That what it does is it makes our lives better. The first example comes from industry. Psychologists studied the difference between doing tasks sequentially and multitasking. And they took people and they had some people go ahead and do like I did, you know, talk on the phone, hold one conversation, another, and then attend to a task. So they had them multitask, and they had another group of people who did the same tasks, but they were sequential. They did one task, gave it its focused attention, then went on to the second and on to the third. And what they discovered to their surprise was that the people who did the tasks sequentially not only committed less errors, the quality of their work was higher, and they were far less stressed. Now, this hasn't caught up with industry yet. If you open the one edge, you'll see, must be able to multitask. We value multitasking. But the truth of the matter is, we actually do better when we don't multitask. So if you want to be less stressed at home and at work, don't multitask. Follow what the Buddhists say. If you're brushing your teeth, brush your teeth. The second advantage to mindfulness was sort of a surprising one to me, and that is it improves human relationships. Remember when you first fall in love with someone? Remember what it's like? Oh man, you can't get enough of looking at that person. You want to hear whatever they say, and you hang on every word. And when you're together, you can barely stop listening and looking. And when they're talking, you just give them all your attention, and you touch their hand, and man, it's so exciting. And then you decide, we just got to live together. And you move in. And pretty soon, at the end of the day, when you come home, you're thinking about something that happened at work, or maybe you did some volunteering and something went wrong that day. And when that person is talking to you, as you start thinking about it, your eyes kind of slide away and you kind of go internal, and you're thinking about what happened to you. And when you're talking to them, you see the same thing happen. And pretty soon, the conversations get briefer because we're not really paying attention to each other. And forget the touch. That's long gone. In one of my classes, the professor had us try to come up with the most single common reason for divorce. And we talked for about an hour before he said, you all have it wrong. What it is that you are not mindful anymore of the other person, and they are not mindful of you. You are no longer focused or giving your attention, and it feels like the loss of love. One of my students was studying the importance of the father in the family. And he got very interested in what happens after divorce. Now, the thing he focused in on was what happens when the father is there for a while, and then when the father leaves through divorce, what happens? Well, they found that if the father stays in contact with the kids and devotes time to the kids, gives the kids his mindful attention, not much. There may be a few behavioral problems, but they quickly pass. But if the father takes himself entirely out of the situation, stops calling, stops paying attention, it doesn't matter how much money he sends. The boy will immediately begin to act out and start having behavioral problems. Fortunately for boys, that passes in about 2 to 3 years. Unless the kid does something really silly, like joins a gang or commits a felony, then there's some other consequences. But by and large, the absence of the father affects the boy immediately. It's different with the girl. At first, the girl doesn't seem to be that disturbed. But as time goes on, the girl begins having problems, particularly in adolescence when she begins dating. And those problems will be lifelong unless she gets some intervention like therapy. Who knew, fathers, that you are that important? Who knew, fathers, that your attention to your children is that important? I think this is why we celebrate fathers and why we talk about Father's Day. Because we have discovered it is no longer hidden how important your mindful attention to your children is. So mindfulness is important to make us more efficient, to make us less stressed. It creates better interpersonal relationships. But mindfulness also does something else. Buddhism says if you want to learn mindfulness, you sit quietly and you concentrate on your breath going in and going out. And immediately you'll find your thoughts are all over the place, your emotions, you think about something, your emotions start running wild, and you lose your focus. And if you keep practicing that mindfulness, eventually you will have brief periods in your life where you will be very aware, where suddenly your temper will start to flare and you'll catch it. Or you'll realize you're not paying attention to your significant other and you'll bring your focus back on that person or on your child. You will become aware of your thinking, your behavior, your emotions. And as the Dalai Lama said, if we can't control our own minds, what makes us think we're going to change the world? So mindfulness is important for you to have a better life. Now, it's not easy. I can attest to that. I lost my temper. My husband hit one of the hot buttons like only a spouse can do. and I went off. But had I been mindful, I wouldn't be regretting what I did or my response to him. Had I been mindful, I wouldn't have had to apologize. It sure would have taken stress out of his life and out of my life. And I wouldn't have had to lay awake and ask myself how I could be so stupid. Okay? So mindfulness can make your life much more pleasant, particularly when we're looking at the good things, at the pleasant things, at the happy things. If we focus our attention on them, we can see how different mindfulness can make our lives. I have two helpers with me this morning that are going to help us practice a little bit of mindfulness. The first is Patricia Morrell, and she's going to play for us. And what I want you to do is make yourself comfortable. You can either open or close your eyes, but I want you to really focus on what she's doing. I want you to hear it, almost see it, and feel it. And we'll let Pat help us. Now, if you really got into that, your heart should be beating differently than when she started. You should feel different things in your head and in your body. Wasn't that enjoyable, relaxing, as she calmed us down? Now we're going to try a very different experience. And Willis McCoy is going to help us with that one.
Thank you.
Both of these experiences, if you really paid attention to them and nothing else, can help us understand how rich our life could be if we focused, how exciting our life could be. I want to share one last thing with you. When my mother was dying, I was a mess. Mother shouldn't die, I thought. It wasn't fair. I was angry. I also was a complete mess. I couldn't think, couldn't focus, couldn't do practically anything in an intelligent manner. She lay in a hospital in Arizona, and there was an American Indian man, an elderly man, on the same floor that she was on. And I had become upset, so I decided to leave my mother's room and go in a corner and meditate. And I happened to take this little corner, and I was standing there in the room, door to the man's room was about there, and suddenly a shaman came. With the shaman, two people, and then behind him, the elderly gentleman's family. And they asked me, what was I doing there? And I said, well, I was just using the corner to meditate. But if they wanted me to, I would leave. And he said, oh, you're meditating? And I said, yeah. And the family member just walked back in the room and left me there. And the shaman began playing his drum. And I couldn't focus on my breath. So I focused on his drum. And he played very much like Patricia did, loudly at first, very rhythmically, very loudly. But then he got quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter. After he stopped, I stood up, walked back to my mother's room, and could help her die. That's what mindfulness is all about. Go now and have a very mindful night. Life.